And welcome back to QT, Queer Teen Podcast. This is super exciting. This is part two of my last episode of season one, all about what it means to be queer. We pick it up from a story I was telling about the moments in my life that I knew something was up and I was sexually attracted to some people in my life. And I did little things to, hint at that. But I wasn't gay. So, please enjoy part two of QT, Queer Teen Podcast, showcasing and encouraging the next generation of queer youth from across the world to stand up for what's right. Me in the wet pool, and I was like, we're not gonna fall down, you're gonna stay on my shoulders. And that was like 13, 14 years old. That's how I started to develop like my idea of like what felt good, not associating it as gay. Like, I wasn't gay, I just was like, this moment of being wet in the pool together. I can also remember a time where I was snorkeling. I could totally be. This is the problem sometimes. This is the time. There was a time when I was like snorkeling in the pool, in my aunt's pool, and my cousin's friend was over, and I was like going underwater. I know. I was going underwater to see if I could see under his swim trunks, but I wasn't gay. I was just curious. That was like 9 years old.
I had a crush on Danny Phantom.
See, I knew it all came out.
Danny Phantom. I haven't heard.
He's so cute. I was okay.
Everyone in this room, especially the youth, put it all together because you're on the same path of like trying to find ways to like.
I was 12 years old, and I saw him turn into a ghost, and I was like, "Ooh, this is."
Who's Danny Phantom?
So, who watches The Loud House? Does anyone?
Oh, me. Yeah.
Does anyone watch The Loud House?
Cartoon.
So there's this awesome cartoon, The Loud House.
Yes.
And one of the characters has two dads. Yeah. And like no one actually says that the kid has two dads. It's just like a thing. Like it's not discussed on the show. It's not brought, like it's just not discussed.
You
it's
watch
like,
Adventure Time? Adventure Time, anyone?
No. It's like, who cares?
The last episode that they kiss. And I was like, oh, they're lesbians. It didn't matter, but it's great.
So I think it's really awesome that you brought that up, right? So I think sometimes we don't pay attention to the fact that, who knows, right? While we're watching these cartoons or whatever. I think for me, I watch a show and I was, like, jumping in my living room, like, oh, my God, they have two dads? It was so fun.
But
it was
fun. They didn't make a big deal out of it.
They didn't make a big deal out of it. That was the point, though. They didn't make a big deal, right?
Okay, so I literally just...
Plus, it's hilarious, right? The show is really funny.
All
right,
I'm like 5 years old and still watch Nickelodeon. I don't care, whatever. So I also watched Loud House. I have no younger siblings. Like, I'm purely just saying, like, I love the show. And there was this episode that one of the sisters had, like... They were getting secret letters and were trying to figure it out. And it dialed down to this one sister and a boy, or a person named Sam. She was interested in that person. And so through the episode, you have no idea who Sam is. And then eventually, she gets the courage to slip Sam a letter. And there's three people walking down the hallway. And it's like a guy and two girls. And they all say, bye, Sam. And this girl, Sam, says bye and opens the letter. And then you see the sister around the corner, like, smiling. And I literally, freaked out in my living room. My mom came rushing in. She's like, why are you screaming? And it's because, like, I was so excited. Yeah, literally lesbians. But I was just so excited that it was just such a low-key thing. Mm-hmm. And it was so amazing to just see that representation. And, like, even with the show Steven Universe,
Oh my God, love it. It is so good.
The fact,
have you, like, watched Steven Universe?
Oh, yeah.
It's, like, an obsession of mine right now.
It's so amazing.
Oh, I wanna squeeze
him. The fact that, like, what I love about the Crystal Gems is that they don't have genders because they're literal rocks. Like, they're just rocks. So it's just...
literally rock.
Both. Literally both. And like I just so this is like so such a passion of mine. I love cartoons, so it's just
me too.
It's but so.
Don't worry, we're gonna get in a really serious tangent, so I don't mind.
So it just.
Just to be the downer, is that like this excitement is because generations before me made sure that nobody that is like us survived in film or television.
Right.
Yeah. Right? Like 100 years of Hollywood and entertainment said, no, you're going to be the bad guy. You're going to die. We're going to kill you.
Mm-hmm. I'm tired of seeing gays die in movies.
Yeah.
Well, and that's, I love that pop. I'm going to have a whole podcast on that.
Wait,
pop culture, because
I just,
film is so fascinating with that, you know?
I don't know if
one
any
more
of
thing
you,
and then we're gonna move on.
Yeah, I don't know if any of you watched Gossip Girl, but that was like my show in middle school, and the
Gossip
main
Girl.
Character, yes, XOXO Gossip Girl, it was so good. Had a gay brother, and at the time I was like, gay brother? Nobody has gay brothers. That's so weird. And I was the gay brother.
Yes.
So like, identifying someone that is, you're like, oh, that's me when you're younger. Seems like something that everyone doesn't think is a huge deal, but it's a huge deal to sit there and be like, oh my God, that person looks like me or talks like me or loves someone like me is so comforting. To just sit there and be like, oh, I don't have to think about anything. I can just watch this person get their head chopped off. It's cool. And like, that's cartoons. And it's fun. And literally, I don't know, but I was just so in love with Danny Phantom. Like,
good. Now I'm gonna get serious. Okay. And everyone's gonna start, Michelle, you can start this to answer this question. If you could stand up in front of our current person in the White House, what would you say? Your last tweens, teens, and everything in between. You go first.
Oh, gosh.
And you can say anything you want in the respect of the room on this podcast.
Are you gonna beep things out?
I don't know, I will never beep anything out.
No. Gosh, I could go on.
It can be brief, just like one solid statement or a couple of sentences.
Okay. Well, I think that I would probably say that laws and policies don't, that laws and policies don't have any room or authority in determining our identity and gender. They don't go together.
Okay.
Oh, man.
So it has to be different from that.
Yeah, it will be. I mean, because I've been a teacher and I work with people that I don't necessarily always agree with, right? Like, that's the current state of affairs. Like, that's the mentality. It's like growing up in a family where the people that care for you may not support you, right? Like, that's the challenge from where I sit. So it's very hard because it becomes personal. You know, it's more like, let's just step over here. Like, the only conversation we can have is out here, because I'm not going to change your mind in there.
No.
It would be a tough one.
Pull them out and be like, come over here for a second.
Okay.
Sure. Regarding state of quality, by the way, so here we go.
No. So I I'm actually taking my kids to Washington, D.C. for their spring break. So maybe we will say these things in front of the White House.
If it's open.
If it's open.
Right.
Because it's shut down, right? Everything's shut down. If we have a government at that point. So I think if I could get in front of the person that is in the White House right now, I would say kindly, please stop using fear to make our country into something it's not. Don't make immigrants out to be the bad people, or not people at all. Don't make someone's sexual orientation or gender identity a religious argument. Just stop using fear to create hate. It makes no sense whatsoever.
Start over there, you're gonna be last.
Sure. Number one.
Briefly.
Stop seeing people as numbers. I know he literally just looks at a sheet of paper and is like, okay, this is how many people are coming over the border in this amount of time. I hate it, I want this done, and I want this done. these are people that you're affecting by these bills and laws that you're passing that are literally profiting off fear-mongering. And it's terrible, but he doesn't see these people as people. He sees them as things to be played with or toyed around with or used in the media as ploys to get more votes or reelected next year. And to be honest, it's not working for me, and it's not working for the rest of the country. So when the government reopens, watch your back, sis.
So first and foremost, oh my gosh, please shut up. Secondly.
Fair enough. Just stop speaking. Stop tweeting.
Put the Twitter down. Put the Twitter down.
Secondly, we see you, and we see you hurting us. Like, originally, 2016, on the website, no Pride Month announcement. We saw that, and we see you hurting us. And you might think you're safe behind your little iPhone computer, like whatever, tweeting away, but we see you hurting us, and we're ready to fight.
Okay. I would just say simply, we are the U.S. We are the citizens, and your job is to serve the U.S., not yourself, the whole country, and we are part of your country.
Okay, so what does it mean? This is the last, actually this is what I'm gonna do. I am going to move it to the audience. And I want, if anyone has any questions, they'll have, see who stands up. If you have any questions, if you don't have a question, I will call on you and I will ask you a question. Because that's how I roll. So if you do have a question, though, please raise your hand if you really honestly want to talk about something that we haven't talked about tonight. Back there, come up to the front here. They're gonna come all the way up front. Yeah. We'll make that the... Thank you, Ashley. Do you want to say your name?
Kendall Stout.
Okay, and come up here and go to that corner like everybody's been doing. It's a lot easier. Say your name and...
I'm gonna hand it off.
Sure. Go for it. What's that?
I'm Kendall Stout, and I was just wondering if you guys had any opinions about, I feel like in the media, the way that like relationships are portrayed like isn't very good, and it's really confusing. Like, it's very like sexual and like dominating, and I feel like it's like difficult for someone who's trying to like understand themselves to really like say like, is this how it should be, and like understand it. And I wondered like what your opinions on that were.
Do you mean in the context of like just
relationships in general,
or just people like the hetero norm being more put out there than anything?
I feel like
get that microphone back to you, sorry.
Ooh, sorry.
I feel like the like heteronormativity of it definitely like adds to it, but just like regardless, I feel like it's all portrayed pretty negatively and very like much in extremes. And like, I mean, I like seeing like all these like straight relationships, I never really understood like how things should be, and it was very difficult for me to like understand that that's like not, that doesn't have to be the normal. That's not the only way that it can be, because it's like very, like most of them are very much like the man controls the woman, and like she doesn't really get a say in things, and she's constantly just like lusting after him, and I feel like that's not like a great way to portray things.
Okay, opinion?
I mean...
Drew. Thank you.
The misogyny that you mentioned isn't lost on the LGBT community. We see that and call it out every day and are met with backlash that's like, well, he's just sensitive. And it's like, no, he's a butthead. Like, if I really, to be quite honest, I know that straight people love 50 Shades of Grey, and another one of those movies comes out every single year, and it's terrible. That man is a creep. Like, he literally is like, oh, I want to control your life. And she's like, okay, like, that's fun. That's not healthy. That is in no way the way a relationship should be. But because we're portraying those things as romantic, we're teaching kids that it's okay to be in a relationship like that. It's terrible.
Is this on? Okay, now it's on. Okay. So I think it's really, I don't know where you just went. Okay. So I think it's really important that you brought that up. What we are finding a lot, again, I work for Garden State Equality. We do a lot of work in the youth space and the older adult space, right? So LGBTQ adults who are aging, right? So maybe you're in their 70s and 80s, right? And I think it's really important that we talk about consent in same-sex relationships. Like, we talk about consent in heterosexual relationships. Consent is consent, okay? So the expectation that maybe consent isn't needed in a same-sex relationship is not an appropriate message to send. And I think sometimes when you, especially educators, are teaching sex ed, and if they are in health ed, if they're not completely comfortable teaching consent in general, and then getting into consent around LGBTQIA relationships or identities, I think we have to do a better job at making sure educators are equipped to have these conversations, right? Because that expectation that there's this push and pull, or someone's in control and the other person's not, right? All that stuff, you know, assault happens in same-sex relationships. Actually, we know at a little bit of a higher rate than in some heterosexual relationships. So, but they're not reported, right? So, because folks are afraid to report things like domestic violence in a same-sex relationship, or police officers sometimes are not well-versed on how to handle if they get a call, right? So I think this goes farther than saying, like, here's what the media shows us. We know, statistically speaking, that without having a conversation about consent in all relationships, kind of like your OWL, you know, the OWL curriculum is talking about, I'm sure, consent at some point, that those, that understanding of things will be removed from the conversation, right?
Go ahead. And just one more thing on this. Keep going.
Yeah, and I just think a point needs to be made is that what gets modeled to kids is only what's acceptable by the culture. And so you're, I think a lot of young people, what I'm seeing now, are finally saying out loud, like some parts of the queer community did in my generation, this is like, you know, we don't need to settle down, we don't need to marry, we don't need to have 2.3 kids, we don't, you know. There's a particular structure, family structure, that while it might be what's normative, it doesn't have to be what everybody chooses or what's right for them. And that, and I think part of what I'm hearing from your question is like, what if I wanted to do it differently? And because we can't talk about our friend, family, or relationship structures that don't look heteronormative as easily, then we get into these problems, like something bad happened to me and I can't tell people about it because now I have to explain my whole relationship structure or something.
So, go ahead.
Anthony said one more thing, but I'm going for it. So the OWL curriculum that we were talking about earlier, one of the things that I think is one of the most important pieces of it, and I've been doing this with my son who's 11 for a couple of years now, is pointing out in the media and all of these things that you see, they're just, it's not real. It's not a real portrayal of real people and healthy relationships. And that needs to be pointed out, and we need to keep remembering that because it gives us an unhealthy picture of a relationship. And even when it comes to, if you want to even take it a step further and you start thinking about things like pornography and such like that, there's a lot to unpack there and thinking about how women and men are treated and the objectification and the power, and that's not a real, honest image or portrayal of a loving relationship. It's a video and they're acting and such. And so with the OWL curriculum, what we try to do is just sort of counter that, because teens are getting information from all sorts of sources and it's just so readily available out there. I mean, like with dial-up AOL, like you were not finding anything on the internet. I mean, I tried. And
you definitely
just,
are not finding anything
on
the dial-up.
No.
It's like 10,000 years to like get to even the first.
And then you had to like put a credit card in. I mean, I don't know anything about this, but. Yeah, it's like, and now it's like you can Google anything and everything's coming up, and as a parent, it freaks me out. But it's just, seriously.
Thank you. Does anyone else saw someone? Oh boy. All right, cool.
I'll come down.
That's fine. Come on. Here, actually, you stay here.
Okay.
I'm gonna give this microphone to Emily, and she's gonna go around and help people with the microphone. This is Emily. Say hi, Emily. I love her, she's my friend. Okay, who had a question? Raise your hand. Logan, come up. Both of you, come up.
And I got my
All right. Go ahead. Just what's your question?
So.
In the mic.
What do you think when people, like, I have a lot of gay friends and a lot of friends with, like, lesbian parents. What do you think when they start getting, like, bullied because that's how their families are?
Okay. Well, so I'm actually, so Michelle's Logan's mom, just so you guys know. And it is true. I think the most important thing that I've seen and experienced with that, because I know that, you know, say your mom's, you go to these certain schools around New Jersey that are kind of in the middle of nowhere, and you don't have that specific culture or idea of what another community looks like. So it's hard for me to like imagine what that's like. However, I feel, can you just explain to, because it's gonna be easier coming from you, has that happened to you? Do you wanna talk about what you specifically did? How did you deal with it? Or Michelle, you can talk about it if you want. He's talking about the moment. Here, give me.
Da-da. Oh, yeah, let's do this. You just explain briefly what
happened. Well, like, talk about, like, what you can do, and then Michelle, Ashley has something to say about that.
Yeah, so I just want to say, and it's interesting saying this in front of my son, but as a mom, when our son started school, it was terrifying to send him to school thinking he may possibly be bullied because he has two moms. And taking that step up to the front of the school and to the class and talking to the teacher and just pulling him aside and just, hey, I just want to let you know, on Father's Day and things like that. And so, and it's something that we always think about. But in fifth grade, we had something happen where there was a Google Slides project. It was a group project. And is this what you're talking about? Yeah.
I figured and that's why I want her to say.
Yeah. So it was a Google Slides project, and my son went and logged in after they had been out for recess, and all of the slides had been deleted that they had been working on and had been replaced with slides and images of women kissing and images of male anatomy and female anatomy and things like that, and with words saying, my moms are lesbians and such. And so that was really very hard on all of us. And fortunately, the school was able to, with a lot of pushing from me, find out who the child was that did that. And interestingly enough, they did it by, it was very intentional, seeking out his password and user ID to his account and doing it from home so that they wouldn't be identified. So it was pretty wild, but the great part about the story was that they found the IP address from his house and were able to link that. But yeah, so even bullying when you have same-sex parents.
So I'm just going to talk a little bit about the anti-bullying laws here in our state. So Garden State Equality was instrumental in making sure those HIB laws were passed. And the reason that happened, so I'm sure you all know or you've heard of Tyler Clemente. Has anyone heard of Tyler? He was a Rutgers student. He was cyberbullied. Someone videotaped him in the middle of a relationship he was having with somebody, and he committed suicide. But I want to be clear that the Tyler and a student about 18 years ago, actually in my kid's school district, was bullied so badly for being part of the LGBTQ community that's why we have the bullying laws that we have in our state here today. And I think it's really important that when we talk about this, you know, educators know what to do when things like this happen, right? When there's a bullying incident, whether it's parents, you know, being bullied because of your parents' identity or your identity, teachers know how to do a HIB investigation or harassment, intimidation, and bullying, right? But schools need to go even farther than that, or further than that?
No judgment,
all right. Further than that, because the truth is that the school's climate around all students is what needs to change, right? So simply saying, hey, we're going to punish you because, or you're going to have a consequence for being inappropriate and doing these things, and you shouldn't do that, and this is why, doesn't change the climate of why it happened in the first place, right? Why did a student think it was okay, right, to go after your family?
Why?
What's the reason,
that's the
right?
Reason. That's what you have to
the
get
reason
to.
Behind it, or the climate in which kids walk into in their school mm-hmm. or in their community, is the reason why things like that happen. So, I mean, doing this right now, right? Hopefully that will help folks understand. But I want you all to know that if your schools, if incidents are happening that involve your sexual orientation or gender identity and HIB reports are not being filed, please let someone know, okay? You can reach out to us at Garden State Equality. You can reach out to other organizations like, you know, GLSEN or whoever your support person is in your district, Make It Better for Youth, whoever it is, because those, the anti-bullying laws are there to support all students. So don't think that you are excluded. It's for everyone.
I reach out to Garden State Equality. I've reached out to them on several occasions for incidents that have happened in and around.
Yep.
And they will give you all the resources. They will help.
We'll go
you.
To school. We'll work on your behalf as a student or as
a
family.
It's
so please,
not even a thing. They don't hesitate.
Please let us know if that's happening. And you'd be surprised. I get 3 to 5 calls a week from parents or from students or from teachers saying, this wasn't reported. I don't want to get in trouble with my school, but I'm going to tell you what happened anonymously. So this happens all the time.
Sorry, I gotta move on.
Okay, go ahead and move on.
What's your question?
What's
your name, if you want to say it? Do you want to
Dante.
Say it? Okay.
And on a happier note, like when I went into middle school, I was afraid to tell my friends that I had two moms, and because I was afraid they would say something or do something. But when I did say something, they just treated me regular, and I was wondering, like, what would you do?
By saying, because you said something? Like, here's the thing, and here's what I find. Oh, my computer went away. It's probably not plugged in. Here's the thing, what I find, and I'll be the only one to say something on this, because I think it's fascinating, and I've had conversations with kids, is when they have come out, right, or they have said something about their truth and what that is and, like, how they show up, a lot of the times, people don't even think twice about it. And if they do say something, there are people you can go to, of course, like we just talked about, which is really important. But a lot of the times, you know, you'd be surprised. Like, once you admit your truth and your vulnerability, and this will be true for you for the rest of your life, because it's not your responsibility how someone shows up. It's their responsibility. And it's on them. And it's their decision to be the person they want to be. And as far as how they act, just know that. You can say whatever you want, but they're gonna allow and be, it's theirs. It's not yours. It has nothing to do with you, because all of you in here are amazing. You guys are definitely amazing for even coming up here, and that you guys have a relationship, and that your friends, and your mom, and you have something similar, and that's the communities you can find. And when someone that's not in that community asks about it, that's their way. If they wanna react, they're gonna react the way they wanna react, but it's on them. Never on you, unless you're being, you know, a jerk or something, but that doesn't really, like, fly in this room. I know it doesn't. So I gotta move on. I have time for one more question. One song. Go ahead. I don't know you, so I'm gonna go with you, and you go up there to Emily. Yeah? I mean, yeah. It's...
Hi.
What's your name, if you want to say it?
I'm Alex.
Hi.
And I wanted to know how you deal with, like, stereotypes when you fit them, because I'm bi. And the first thing my mom said to me when I came out as bi to her was, you cutting your hair was a sign to me, right? Like, she thought I had cut my hair solely to tell her I was gay. Like, that was the only thing she thought.
Okay, so why don't you answer that? Because we talked about that a little bit anyways, but the, hey, girl.
Yeah, well, generally, I tend to fit a lot of the homosexual gay stereotypes, and, a lot of it is part of who I am, but if that's not, if it doesn't apply to me, I'll be like, hey, that doesn't apply to me. And.
Period. Drop the mic. One more thing. I know everyone has lots of questions. I'm not leaving. We can ask these questions. Everyone's going to answer this. You have one word answer. You kind of already did this, but you can do it again. Describe yourself in one word. Michelle, just one word.
Brave.
Learning.
Loving.
Understanding.
Complete.
Wait, I need a second. Hold on.
You gotta follow that.
Yeah, I know. That's a tough one. Can I pass it to him and then like come back to me? I'm
teens. Go ahead.
Resilient.
Yes.
Amazing.
Great. Do me a favor. You get the mic back. Just stand up for a second. Sorry, I'm putting you on the spot. Just answer this to your true self. What does it mean to be your true self?
Whatever you want it to mean.
Period. That was great. So, thank you. Thank you, the United Methodist Church of Red Bank, just in the back. Thank you so much for allowing us to be in your space and feeling safe. I really, really appreciate it. Thank you to all who came and showed up, because showing up is the biggest part of it, and because you did show up and you listened and you learned, because I know everybody learned something in this room, like right now they learned something in this room. And lots of other people will learn something in this room and elsewhere in the world. Do me a favor, everybody take out your phones. This is a thing I do. You're not taking a picture. You're going to go on social media, whichever one you want to go on, Facebook or Instagram. I don't have all the other ones. Sorry, I'm not getting them. And can you please just follow Queer Teen Podcast like right now, like at this very moment. And I'll wait until you're done. So you can also find Queer Teen Podcast on Instagram, iTunes, and Spotify. Oh, sorry. Yeah, on Facebook, Instagram. You can listen to it on iTunes, Spotify, and Podbean. Podbean is my like website for it, but if you have iTunes or Spotify, you can do it that way. There are 10 episodes for this season. This is the last episode, and this was all about what it means to be queer and to be your true self, and I got to embrace and talk to so many students, and I'm still not done. And then season 2 will come out probably in the early, like late summer, early fall, and that's going to be all about storytelling. And each person is going to have 15 minutes of their time to tell their story from the beginning up until now and living their truth. And so if it's something you are interested in, you want to get on the podcast with your story, then please see me, or you can see my husband, Jason B. Schmidt, over there. And he can take your information. In fact, probably just go see him with that information. Do not come to me. I will answer any questions about anything you want to talk about. But for now, I will do the outro at my house by myself. And thank you all so much. And thank you to my panel. That's it.
And that was another episode of QT, our last one. But I got a little surprise. If you made it this far, you might hear some bonus episodes throughout the summer in regards to all things queer. Thank you so much, United Methodist Church of Red Bank, for having us there. Of course, Garden State Equality and Make It Better for Youth and PFLAG. For more information on all of those organizations, you can find them on the World Wide Web. This is QT, Queer Teen Podcast, showcasing and encouraging the next generation of queer youth from across the world to stand up for what's right. I'm your host, Anthony Giorgio, and remember, listen, learn, love.